Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Katan is Yud Gimel. Okay, we have a lot of Gemara coming up today. I'm going to go a little bit quicker than I should, but I'd like to try to finish the second parak, which is really where we should be by the end of today. Second parak is short, but it continues this discussion regarding the halachas of Chol HaMoed, the do's and do-nots of Chol HaMoed. So you're allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, litzor HaMoed, for the purpose of Moed. That's an overstatement. That's an oversimplification. But that's the basic idea, but there are limitations. And so yesterday we engaged in a possible limitation, and that would be what Rav Huna did. Okay, so we're not speaking Lashon Hara, we're just saying over what the Gemara told us, and that is Rav Huna harvested on Chol HaMoed. Now he did it at Tzor HaMoed, in other words, whatever he was harvesting he was going to be using in Chol HaMoed, but that's already too far, meaning that harvesting is a earlier stage of the whole Sidur de Pas. Sidur de Pas is 11 steps, getting us from the planting all the way to the finished product of bread. And so harvesting is pretty early on. In fact, it's after Zoreah and after Choresh. So then it's the next thing is Kotzer. So that's what he did. He was doing Kotzira. So was that okay? Could he do that in Chol HaMoed? So it was subject to a debate. It was controversial. So he did it. In other words, that was the starting point of the discussion. And then the Gemara challenged, and the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa said, you're not allowed to do that. The Braisa did say that im ein mashi yochal, if you have nothing to eat, so then under those circumstances, you could do it. I don't fully understand that, meaning if you have nothing to eat, so then, look, what are we talking about over there? Are we talking about pekuach nefesh? It's not. Anyway, the Braisa says, I'll just say over the Braisa. The Braisa says, in mashi yochal, if you have nothing to eat, so then you're allowed to do, you're allowed to harvest. But short of that, you're not allowed to harvest. So the Gemara challenged Rav Huna based on that Braisa. It was a pretty straightforward challenge. So Rav Huna said, that Braisa that you quoted to me, that's a shitas yachid. That's a dasa yachid. That's not the consensus viewpoint. That's not the majority viewpoint. And so Rav Huna defended his position, despite the fact that the Braisa seems to be going against him. Okay, that's where we ended off yesterday. It gets a little bit more detailed because in order to say that the Braisa is a shitas yachid, it has to be going like Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi says you don't need a shinui. The Braisa required a shinui. Okay, so the truth of the matter is it did get a little bit more detailed and got a little bit more involved. Anyway, to say it succinctly and simply, Rav Huna harvested. The Braisa seems to suggest that you can't do that. And Rav Huna defended his viewpoint. Okay, good. That was where we got to yesterday. We are now on Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we are about a quarter of the way down after the lines start getting wide. Five lines down, Tana Rabbanan. So this is where we got up to yesterday, and we are continuing. Tana Rabbanan tochnen b'moed l'tzor chamoed. So you're allowed to grind. Okay, so grinding is, again, one another stage in Sidur de Pas, after you harvest, and you go through a couple of stages, so then we're ready for the grinding. Are you allowed to grind in Chol HaMoed? So once again, l'tzor chamoed, you're allowed to. If it's as long as you're going to be benefiting from it on Moed itself, meaning during Chol HaMoed and for the second days of the Yontif, so you're allowed to. So, v'shalol tzor ha-moed asur. However, if you're grinding for anything that is post-moed, so that would be prohibited. V'im tachan v'hoser areza mutar. Now, let's say you ground and it happens to be that you have leftover. Fine. The leftover could be used after Chol HaMoed. It seems to be pretty obvious. I guess the point of the braisa is that you don't have to be so exacting in terms of how much am I going to be grinding. Meaning, you could grind a generous amount knowing full well that there's going to be leftover. So, let's say you need wood, and I need wood for fire, and I need to cut down some of the trees for wood for fire. You could do that, says the Braisa again, as long as it's Tzor HaMoed. V'shalol Tzor HaMoed also. However, if it's Shalol Tzor HaMoed, then it would be prohibited. V'im katzitz v'hozir hariz amutar. Now, if you have leftover, that's fine. Matilin shecher b'moed l'tzor HaMoed. And you can go ahead and you can brew some beer on Chol HaMoed for Chol HaMoed. Okay, so once again, being that I'm not in the brewing industry, so can it be possible that you're going to start the brewing on Chol HaMoed and enjoy on Chol HaMoed? The commercial assumption is yes. Okay, so it's just my lack of knowledge about the whole brewing process. I don't know what we're talking about over here, but I do know this. In other words, whatever you're doing is obviously something that can be enjoyed on Yontif. So under those circumstances, that's fine. V'shalol tzor HaMoed asur. However, if you start the brewing process on Chol HaMoed, but you're only benefiting from it after Chol HaMoed, so that's going to be prohibited. V'im hito v'hoser is a mutter. Once again, some leftovers would be fine. U'v'vashalo ya'arim, but you can't do harama. So over here in the Braisa says really clearly that you can't just simply say that you're going to be benefiting from it on Chol HaMoed, but knowing full well that this is harama. The Braisa says you cannot do that, meaning that when you are starting in any of these activities that we just described, you legitimately, sincerely have to be interested in benefiting from it on Chol HaMoed, and only if there's leftovers, then you can benefit from it afterwards, but you cannot do a harama. Viriminu, the Gemara points out. Presumably, on all three cases. Uriminu, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to challenge you. Matil and Shecher b'molot zorcham avishalot zorcham oed aser. Echad Shecher tamarim v'echad Shecher tzaorim. So over here in the second brisa, so once again, brewing is allowed, and you could brew date beer, barley beer, v'alfa pishyishal yashan, and even if you already have beer. So really, the truth of the matter is I don't need, nevertheless, ma'arim v'shosim and achadash. You can go ahead and do a harama. And even though you don't need. Okay, so over here in the second braisa, so harama under these circumstances would in fact be allowed. You could start the brewing process saying that you're going to be using it on Chol HaMoed, even though the truth of the matter is that you don't end up drinking it. So tonight he did time. So the Gemara says, fine. So what do I find? It's a stira amongst braisas. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm also going to tell you it's about chlokas tanayim, whether harama would be acceptable or not. The Tanya will learn to the braisa in marim mekach revios revihuda amar marimim. Okay. So machlok is whether or not harama can be done under these circumstances. Throughout Shas, every now and then you're going to find that certain haramas are in fact allowed. Now haramas basically, there's no, right, the English description of the word harama, deception, right, some sort of subterfuge, chicanery, whatever, okay, right, whatever SAT word you want to use. But in other words, it's a question of whether or not the iser at its core is something which is bona fide aser, or something which is not bona fide aser, but the Chachamim expects a certain level of Chumrah. So over here, the Chachamim expect a certain level of Chumrah. So on Chol HaMoed. And so meaning the act in of itself could be permissible on Chol HaMoed. Now it's just a question of what if I'm not doing the action for Chol HaMoed itself? So what kind of is are we talking about? And under those circumstances, so then the Tanaim are arguing in terms of whether or not you can use some harama in this limited circumstance. Obviously, just because you can use it, even to the one who says you can use in this circumstance, does not mean that I could use in other circumstances. Okay.
Also, how come the Gemara doesn't ask one three cases?
I mean, there are three different malachas, but okay, I hear you. Right? Rav Chatzta Lechatzta. Okay, continuing the Gemara now. So we started the shiur today with Rav Huna harvesting on Chol HaMoed. Okay, it wasn't just Rav Huna; it was the Rebbe of Rav Huna. It was Rav. So Rav also harvested on Chol HaMoed. Okay, I'm not clear why the Gemara didn't start off with Rav. Rav historically is earlier. Okay, but anyway, so Rav Chatzale Chatzah b'Chol HaMoeda. So he harvested on Chol HaMoed.
He
didn't do it, huh?
Rav Chatzale.
Okay.
Himself, his workers.
Okay, I mean the Gemara uses the same lashon by Rav Huna as well. Regardless,
yeah, it's the same.
Okay.
Either,
anyway, but it was under his direction. Okay, Rav Chatzta Lechatzta b'chol demoy chama Shmuel ikben. So Shmuel heard about this, and Shmuel was really upset, meaning he thought it was indefensible. Now again, the same reaction happened when Rav Huna did so, and the Gemara also thought that was indefensible. Rav Huna defended his position. But anyway, we're going back to Rav, and Shmuel thought it was an indefensible position that he took. So, Lema Shmuel ki Yechidai Svir Lei. So the Gemara says, now, could it very well be that Shmuel subscribes to Yechidai? Now, this line of Gemara is understood well after having reviewed yesterday's daf, meaning that in yesterday's daf, we learned that in defense of Rav Huna, what we said is that those who aser it are holding like a Shitas Yachid. So you want to tell me now that Shmuel holds like a Shitas Yachid? Is that the pshat? So the Gemara says, lo, chasa dechita hava de la hava pasit. So the Gemara says, no, the harvesting over here was regarding wheat, and there's no hefset to talk about when it comes to wheat. Okay, again, when it comes to these agricultural points of the Gemara, just right, we just accept. Meaning, I accept because I don't know any better. I just simply am ignorant on these particular issues. But okay, the Gemara says that when it comes to wheat, so there's no hefset, so there really is no justification for harvesting wheat on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that it's an indefensible position, so we have to defend Rav, meaning Rav allowed for it. So the Gemara says, Ein lo ma yochal hu. Hava. So the Gemara says, Rav didn't have anything to eat. which if you just for a moment pause and think about that, that is nothing short than amazing. Meaning the Gemara now puts Rav in this category of Ein Mashi Ochal. He had literally had nothing to eat. And so therefore he helped himself to this kind of heter. Nothing short than amazing. Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe. Granted, Rebbe was an Eretz Yisrael. Rav ended up moving to Bavel. And this obviously is talking about when Rav moved to Bavel. But still, Rav was a Talmud to one of the wealthiest people in human history. So it's just, okay, it's just amazing that the Gemara describes Rav in that manner. So, Now, when it was reported over to Shmuel, the whole story was not reported to Shmuel. Meaning only bits and pieces were reported to Shmuel, but not the whole story. Okay? Inami adam chashav shani. Or what you could suggest is as follows. Meaning that Shmuel knew that Rav ain't mashi ochal, but Shmuel also was of the position that Rav was an adam chashav. As an adam chashav, what Shmuel felt is that Rav should be more machmer upon himself. Okay, now, again, by the way, this comes out to be a really interesting conclusion, and certainly a little bit difficult to hear, in that Rav was in a position right now of ein mashi ochal. He simply had nothing to eat. And so therefore he is given a heter that he could harvest. But he's an adam chashav, and therefore he should be machmer. And now what? Meaning, and then what should happen? Correct. In other words, at this point in time, a little bit unclear. Meaning, what was Shmuel's expectation of Rav at this point in time? If I had a guess, which is what I'm doing right now. So if I had a guess, in other words, other people should be providing for Rav. Okay, in other words, he should be supported right now temporarily by other people because he shouldn't be harvesting because he's an Adam Chashav. Okay. Rav Yehuda Nasiya Nafak Bechum Rasa, the Medusha of Ishte Mai Da Achim Kpela Arma'am. Okay, Rav Yehuda Nasiya, a grandson to Rav Yehuda Anasi, so he did two things which were slightly controversial. Okay, this Amud of Gemara is dedicated to controversies amongst the Amoraim. Okay, so Rav Huna harvested and Rav harvested, and now Rav Yehuda Nasiya, a grandson to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So what did he do? So on Shabbos, he walked out with he was wearing a ring. The ring had a signet on it. Okay, on Shabbos. And the other thing that he did, which was controversial, is that he had tea that was warmed up by a non-Jew. Heated by a non-Jew. I say tea, by the way. It really is just water. Okay, flavored water. Okay, good. Anyway, so Shama Rabbi Ame Ikpid. So Rabbi Ami heard this, and Rabbi Ami was really upset by both of these practices of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. He felt that was both of those actions should not have been done. Now, Ama Rav Yosef, my Tami Ikbed, Rav Yosef says, can we deliberate this? I don't understand. What's the controversy? The fact that the rings are worn on Shabbos, they're not muksa. So the Mishnah in Shabbos, the Brisa in Shabbos, tells us clearly that they're not muksa. You can go ahead and wear them around in the chatzer. The limitation over here is the chatzer, not outside the chatzer. Good. And when we went right back in Masechet Shabbos, we talked about this more. Anyway, let's just, for our purposes, simply suffice to say they are not muksa. And so therefore, that's not controversial. There was no problem in that. And imishum deishtam mayadachim kepel armaha amashmo bar yitzhak amarav kol shenachal kamoshu chayein bo mishum bishulin achrim. And as far as having water that was cooked by a non-Jew, what was the potential problem? The potential problem is that it's bishul nachri, it's bishul akum. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, daf lamed vav, so introduces us to a gzera de rabbanan that we're not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. So the Gemara is assuming right now that that's the problem. The Gemara says, what's the problem? Right? The Gemara there goes on to describe how you have a heter. And the heter is that if it's a food that could have been consumed before it was cooked, nechal kamoshu chai, so then it's not subject to bishul akum. Here we're talking about water. Obviously, water can be consumed before it was cooked. So therefore, it's not subject to the issur derabanan of bishul akum. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're looking at two controversial things that were done by Rav Yehuda Nasiya. Neither of them are controversial. Both of them are legitimate practices in which there are legitimate heterim. So the Gemara's answer, at this point in time, you already know what's coming. Adam Chashav Shani. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. So for the rest of us, it's perfectly fine, right? To have water that was cooked by a non-Jew, we do that all the time. It's called drinking coffee. That was prepared by a non-Jew. That we do all the time. And in other words, it's Nechal Kamoshu Chai. So that would be fine. As far as wearing rings are concerned, that has a signet on it. It's not, meaning these are perfectly fine activities. So then what was the objection? The objection is Rav Yehuda Nisya is an Adam Chashav. He's somebody who is he's a role model, whatever. However you want to describe Adam Chashav, and so therefore he should practice in a manner that is far and above what is the what's the acceptable halacha.
If the ring is made for stamping documents,
yeah.
It should be
mixed. Okay, good. It's good. So that's the consideration. The Braisa in Shabbos says that meanwhile it's also tachshit, and therefore can be worn. Amrav Chanano, Amrav Kotzitz on the deco b'moed. Alpha pisha netzarech el netzar shalom. Okay, another heter that's given out, and that is that you can go ahead and you can cut the palm branches. The only thing you really right now need is in the saris. You just need the sawdust. So okay, so that's a lot of work to just get to the sawdust, but. If you need the sawdust, obviously for Chol HaMoed, what are you doing with the sawdust on Chol HaMoed? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. In other words, if there's a need for it, so then, yeah, okay, whatever the case is. Okay, good. So the then you could do that. Kisuad, okay, all fair guesses. I happen not to know. So Layit Ala Abaye. So Abaye was really upset with this action. So Rav Ashi Avalei Abba Bishalnaya. Rav Ashi had a forest in the town of Shalnaya, right? That Rashi says it's the name of the city. So Azol Lemitzei B'chol Demoada. So he took his axe out there and he started chopping down trees on Chol HaMoed in his forest. So Amalei Rav Shela Mishalnaya LeRav Ashi My Daitech Dekam Rav Chanano Amrav Kotzitz Adam Deko B'Moed Afa Pishin Nesar Chol Nesar Shelo. So this you think it's legitimate activity because of the heter that was given by Rav that you can cut the palm trees even though I only need the sawdust. And now you're taking your axe out to your forest and you're cutting down trees? Huh. You think what you're doing is okay? Halait Allah Abaye. Can I please remind you that Abaye was very unhappy with that heter? And so Abaye cursed somebody who allowed himself to such a heter. And so I don't think it's a good idea. So Amar Le Lo Shmili Klamar Lo Sfirli. So okay, good. So with his axe in tow, so he continues walking out to his forest and he says, good, I'm glad that you share that information with me. Lo sfirli. Meaning I'm happy with the heter of Rav, and I'm not concerned about Abaye's curse. Okay, this is what's called foreshadowing at this point in time. You probably are going to guess pretty well what is going to happen next. So, ishtamit narga bai lemifzik elishakya. So what happens is he's chopping the wood now in his forest on Chol HaMoed, despite the fact that Abaye was very unhappy, so... What happened was that the blade came out and almost cut off his foot. So at this point in time, as Rashi pointed out, he realized, he was margish, says Rashi, that because he violated the curse of Abaye, so now he almost suffered a terrible injury. And at that point in time, Shaf gave a hadar. So he's like, okay, he packed up his axe and he's like, okay, it's time to go back home. Meaning he realized that was not appropriate activity to be done in Chol HaMoed. Okay, we continue. Asar, yeah, in other words, we're right. Why was Abaye so unhappy? Meaning, if Rav said that it was Mamash Heter Gamor, Abaye comes along later on. And when I say later on, by the way, it's historical, meaning Abaye is generations later. He's a couple generations after Rav. Okay, it's a fair question. I don't know. Also, Rav Yehuda Sharla Me'akar Kitna Lamikdal Kishusa Lamakar Shum Shemei.
Maybe because of the
Kushan. Right. Could be. Abaye's light was going on. Okay, maybe. Could be. So, also Rav Yehuda Sharla Meikar Kisna. So, Rav Yehuda gave the following allowances. So, you're allowed to uproot flax. And Ulamikdal Kishusa, you can also go ahead and pull the hops out. Ulamekar Shumshamein, and pull out sesame seeds. So, three different types of activities. Again, this is now thematically connected to our daf today. Again, this is all still yesterday's daf. Okay, so but the idea is that limited harvesting is okay. So we saw Rav Huna do it, we saw Rav do it, and now Rav Yehuda at the end of this whole section is now going to give a heter where you can pull out these particular types of growth. Now Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef Bishlam Akisna. So now there has to be a tzarich moed need. There has to be an immediate need for these actions. Otherwise, there's no way they could be allowed. So Abaye now is like chasing over in his mind. Like, how can all these activities be mutter? So as far as pulling out the flax, he says that I understand. Chazi lechafifa. Okay, good. So it's wonderful for chafifa. Rashi, lechasos bo machal kagon te'inim v'tamarim l'tzor chamoin. Apparently, it makes great insulation. Okay, and here, like, we could turn our attention to the fourth parak of Shabbos, right? And what you can do hatmana with and what you can't do hatmana with. And so over here, we're talking about this really soft and cushiony flax. So it makes a great insulation. Good. So, and kashus the chazil l'shechra, and as far as the hops are concerned, so that's great for beer. And as we learned together, you're allowed to make beer on chol hamoed. So, ela shum shemelamai chazil, but what about sesame seeds? Now, what was the Gemara's question? Meaning, isn't sesame seeds something that you could just simply eat right away? And so, once again, so get to the sticky points of this perek. So I say sesame seeds because I think that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe what?
They have to dry.
Okay. And presumably, in other words, the you can't eat them the moment you pick them. Okay. So chaze lanazi. So the Gemara says, okay. So you're right. So the actual seed itself is not perfectly edible. However, if you open it up, there's something inside that you can eat right away. Disbahu. Rabbiana havaleahu pardesa. Demata zamne b'chol demoed. We're finishing up this whole section of harvesting with one more story. Rabbi Yannai had a orchard, and it happened to have been that it's time for harvesting occurred on chol hamoed. He didn't plan it that way, but in other words, but he had a harvest on chol hamoed. Now, what if he waited a week? So I don't know. In other words, I would have guessed you could wait a week for whatever reason, which the Gemara doesn't really articulate. In other words, he didn't have that option. I don't know why. Doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, it's important, but I don't know why. In other words, so we're now looking at a potential hefsed where he had to harvest it on chol hamoed. So he did. So katfe. So he harvested on chol hamoed. But again, though, in that particular circumstance, it was a davar ha'aved. He was looking at loss. So l'shana shayi kule amala pardesayo l'chula domoada. So next year, so what do you think? What do you think the kahila did? Well, if the Rebbe went ahead and harvested his orchard on chol hamoed, so the kahila thought, okay, if the Rebbe did it, so we could do it. So the next year, everyone harvested on chol hamoed. So at that point in time, he realized, look, I may have been in the right, but I was in the wrong. Meaning, what I did was halachically fine, but now I realize. And again, this also is thematically connected to our entire daf today of Adam Chashev. Right, when people look at you as a role model, so then even if what you're doing is genuinely correct, but right, people see you. Okay, so everyone harvested the next year. Afgarei Rabbi Yana la Pardesa Ushasa. So that year, so he made his part his hefker. He self-imposed a kenas right on himself, and he said, "Look, this year I'm not going to enjoy the fruits of my labor, literally, and good, and so." That was a kenas that he imposed upon himself, right? Rashi says mishum dal yado haya takala la'ama deshal ad lachalamo v'katfe, because of him everyone waited to chalamo to harvest, and so good, so he imposed a kenas upon himself. Okay, that was a long time to get to today's daf. Okay, we are now ready. We're on the Mishnah Yud Beis Amud Beis on the bottom of the Amud. Machnes adam peirosav mipnei ganavim. Okay, so again, so tircha is something that was not encouraged on chol hamoed. However, as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, and here are just more examples of this idea, if we're talking about now where it's a davar hefsed, where you're looking at real loss, so then you can go ahead and you can engage in a tircha. So over here, what do you have? You have your fruit. They're out they're outside, let's say in the chatzer, and you're worried. If I leave it out there, so people are going to steal it. I want to bring it inside. Am I allowed to do so? The Mishnah says yes. So the machnas adam perasav bim neaganavim v'shola pishanam in a mishra b'shoshalo tovan. Another example of hafsed is you're soaking your flax. Okay, so here I did a little bit of research. Okay, as much as I admit that there's so little that I know about agriculture, but I felt like let me just get a little bit more informed. So it's called, I watched a video on preparing flax. Okay. Anyway, I watched the cutting of the flax, the soaking of the flax, right? The beating of the flax. Okay, good. Anyway, it's not so hard, right? Baruch Hashem. So becoming more knowledgeable nowadays is just a little bit easier. So anyway, so the so over here we're at the process of the soaking. So after you cut the flax are nice long stalks, thin stalks. So you cut them, but before you beat them, so you have to soak them. So over here he started the soaking process, but it's now chol hamoed, and if they remain in the water, so they're going to get ruined. So are you allowed to take them out? So the Mishnah says, yes, shola. Shola is a term, it's a verb to describe when I'm pulling something out of water, right? Shola dagim in ayam. Okay, it's just another example. So over here, so you can pull the flax out of the water. Now, here's what you can't do. You can't plan for these activities. So that means to say that if possible, so do these activities before Chol HaMoed. In other words, the allowance over here is if. So if the point in time comes about where the pair is out in the field and or out in the courtyard and you're worried about theft, so then you can bring him in. If the flax is soaking and it turns out now that's Chol HaMoed, then you can bring it in. But don't plan for this. Now, if you plan for this for Chol HaMoed, so then what you should do is that you should not take care of it, and as a kedusha, so you should go ahead and suffer the financial loss. Okay, I'm always curious. In other words, what kind of who are we talking to right now? If we're talking to a person who planned for it, so is he really going to then take upon himself now? Oh, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. You're right. I'm going to go ahead now and provide for myself a kenas. Generally speaking, the person who plans for it is not the person who's going to be hearing of any kind of kenas. Okay, but of course, Beis Din is going to impose. Okay, good. And it could always be that, look, in other words, people aren't locked into a particular position. In other words, it could very well be that the person had a change of heart, right? We're all believers in, or I mean, it's fundamental to our Torah that we believe in tshuva. And so the person who was told he shouldn't do it and he did it, so it could very well be that he had a change of heart. And now, upon further review, he said, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. Okay. Anyway, Tana, uvavachi ichnasem. So even though there's a heter to bring in the fruit from his chatzer into his house because he's worried about theft, but you know what? You're going to be doing a lot of work on Chol HaMoed in doing so. So do so privately. Now, what does that mean? Do so privately. That's a wonderful question. So Rav Yosef havalei kishuri alina biyamama. So Rav Yosef had beams in the front of his house and he was worried about theft. So what he did is he brought them into his house on Chol HaMoed, and he brought it right in the middle of the day into his house. So Abaye says, how much Abaye do we get today? A lot. So Abaye says, you know what? The Braisa says that you should be doing some bitzina. You're bringing it into your house right in the middle of the day? Like, what is going on? So he says, let me tell you, modesty is relative. Meaning, let's say we were to bring it in at night. Okay, so you know what I need at night? I need torches. I need a lot of people. In other words, it's going to make a lot of commotion if I bring it in at night. So sometimes, yeah, so bringing in during the daytime would actually be, relative to night, be more modest. It'll be more tzanua to bring it in during the day than to have to bring it in at night. V'shola pishanam in amishra, bai minei rev yirmiya mi rebi zera. Kevan malachto b'moed umeis mahu shikansu banav acharav. So here we have a classic discussion in the Gemara, and that's the following. We learn together in our Mishnah that when the person designs to do work on Chol HaMoed, so he's imposed with a kenas, in which he's not allowed to benefit from that which he has done. Good. So that's a kenas de Rabbanan. Is the kenas going on him, or is the kenas going on whatever the item is that he planned on improving on Chol HaMoed? So what's the kenas going on? Okay, so anyone who has had a classic yeshiva background in education, so is it on the chefter or is it on the gavra? Okay, now it happens to be, it's great yeshiva terminology, so it's popularized, you know, in the last couple hundred years, but the truth of the matter is that that's exactly what the Gemara is asking over here. Okay, so this age-old chakira of, it's not age old. In other words, the Hefta Gavra language has really been developed and perfected in the last couple hundred years. But nevertheless, though, it's in the Gemara. The Gemara now wants to know, is the kenas going on the person? Is the kenas going on the items in which he will look to improve? And if the kenas is going on the person, so then maybe his son is going to go ahead. I'm sorry. If the kenas is going on the item, so then it'll go to the next generation. Meaning, because if the person dies and the son now acquires it, yeah, the kenas is there on the item. If, on the other hand, the kenas is going on the person, so if the person dies, so the kenas goes with the person. That's a question on the table.
But assuming that the person doesn't die, even if the kenas is on the person, it goes to the first person.
Okay, you're certainly right, but this is now going to be the question of where is the kanas fundamentally going to be rooted in, and the nafka mina would be. I mean, I'm sure there are other nafka minas as well, but the nafka mina would be now that the person died and the estate now goes on to the next generation. So is that kanas still there on the items? So that's the question the Gemara asks. So im timsa lamar. So the Gemara says, well, let's answer this question with things that we know. So here's what we know. As we are now on the top of Yigim Mamad Aleph, Tzarim Ozen Bechor, Kanasa Banav Acharav. So let's say you put a mum on a Bechor. So we know that when it comes to a Bechor, Bizman is there. So what do you, the animal has Kedusha, but you can't offer it because we don't have a base of Mikdash. What do I do with it? So you wait until it gets a mum, and once it has a mum, so then you're allowed to eat it. But the mum has to happen organically, it has to happen naturally. I cannot put a mum on that animal. It's an Issa Daraisa to do so. Rashi over here quotes the related psukim in terms of the Issa Daraisa. So now, let's say somebody comes along and his sorim owes him. He just makes a little nick in the ear of the animal. So that will now will be the mum so that I can go ahead and eat it. So what's the halacha there? The halacha is that because you violate the Issa Daraisa, so there's a kanas. And the kanas is not only going to go on you, it's going to go on your children as well, meaning that if you die and the Bechor now is passed on to the children, so they too are not allowed to eat the animal as well. So, Sarim Ozen Bechor, Kanso Beno Acharav. So the Gemara says, so that's what we know, meaning we're not asking, we're not guessing, we know that the Kanas over there goes to the next generation. So what do you see over there? Mishum Disur Daraisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, I hear you, but there, that person violated Issa Daraisa. So the Gemara says, and here's also what I know, and that is that there's an Isser to go ahead and sell your Evi Kanani to a guy. When you own an Evi Kanani, so now, as you being the owner of the Evi Kanani, so now he's in a great position. Now, I say the word great, by the way, in relative terms, meaning he is an Evid, but on the other hand, however, he's now going to be privileged to be Chayv and Mitzvahs of the Torah. Including Shabbos. So now when you go ahead and you take your Evi Kanani and you sell him to a non-Jew, so all those mitzvahs that he was obligated in, so you were mafkia, you removed him from those, from the privileged position of being able to be mekayim those mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay, so you're not allowed to do so. And what if you do so? So, v'imtim salamar machar avdolav v'kochavim umeis, knaso banav acharav. So not only do you have a kanas, meaning that you're not allowed to repossess that Evi Kanani as a kanas for having sold them to a non-Jew. So not only is that kanas on you, the kanas also is on your sons as well. Meaning that if you die, so your sons also are going to be banned and barred from repossessing him. So the Gemara says, okay, but mishum dechol yumaf gelei mimitzvos. So the Gemara says, over there, I understand why, because you were mafkia, you removed him from mitzvos. What you did is terrible. Okay, good. So in the case of Tzarim Ozen, in the case of Mechiras Evi Kanani to a non-Jew, so I totally understand over there why it is that the Kanas is going to be following you after the grave and going to your children. Over here, Hachamai, Gavra Kanis Rabbanan Va'alesa, Odil Mamamona Kanis Rabbanan Va'isa. So, but over here, when in this particular Kanas, again, for our infraction is that you plan to do work on Chol HaMoed, and you did. But with the intention before Yontif that I'm going to be waiting for Chol HaMoed and doing this on Chol HaMoed. So now there's a kanas, and you're not allowed to benefit from it. So over here, are we now going to suggest, are we going to say that the kanas is on the item, which means that now it goes to the next generation? Or do we say the kanas is on you, and it doesn't go to the next generation? Okay, Cheftza Gavra, Mamish, right in the Gemara. Okay.
Isn't the Evid automatically free? You sell him to a guy, or
that's part of the kanas is that he goes free.
So therefore, that's why it doesn't go to the side.
Okay, good. But in other words, I as much as I don't know about agriculture, I don't know much about slave trading. But it sounds like he can go back on the market, and if in fact he does go back on the market, so as part of the kanas, you can't go ahead and buy him back. Okay, that's the assumption the Gemara is making. Okay, so with that stated, so the Gemara now wants to know. In the cases of Tzarim Ozen, in the case of Mechiras Evi Kanani, so there I understand. But over here, where it's only Nisa Darabanan. Now, when I say it's only Nisa Darabanan, so doing Malach on Chol HaMoed becomes a confusing discussion in terms of what kind of Issa are we talking about. Just one day ago in the Daf, okay, day and a half, on Yud Alf Amud Beis. So the Gemara there said that you violate Malacha on Chol HaMoed, you're violating an Issa Daraisa. Our Gemara certainly gives the impression that what you're doing over here is not an Issa Daraisa. Meaning, isn't that the simple pshat of our Gemara? That if I were to do something like Sarim Ozen, or something like Mechiras Evekanani, oh, those are serious Yisurim. Right? Sarim Ozen, the Gemara says, is an Issa Daraisa. But over here, you certainly get the impression from our Gemara over here that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is not Issa Daraisa. So is doing a Malacha on Chol HaMoed Issa Daraisa and Issa Darabanan when you don't have a heter and you're not under any of the umbrellas of heterim? So what kind of Issa are we talking about? So admittedly, it's confusing, which is why we already mentioned the beginning of the Masechta, the Rishonim do in fact struggle and debate in terms of what exactly is the nature of Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Is it Issa Daraisa or is it Issa Darabanan? Okay, and just in 2 short days in the daf here in Chol HaMoed, in Moed Katan, do we get that? We get that tension. Good, good. Anyway, just a larger point. Let's continue. So Amar Lei Tini Sua. So now, in response to the question of when the Chachamim gave a Knas, that you're not allowed to enjoy the fruits of your labor when you did Chol HaMoed, when you did Malacha and Chol HaMoed, that you were not allowed to do. So for that, he says, I think I know the answer, and it's going to be based on a Mishnah. Mishnah in Shvius. Here in Moed Katan, we quoted a number of Mishnahs in Shvius. So here we get to see another one. Fourth Perek. Sada. Shenit Kavtsa B'Shvius. So Tizrael Amotzei Shvius. So let's say you did really minor work to your field during the Shemitah year. Again, you should be doing no work in your field in Shemitah year, but a really minor work. Minor work over here. Niz Kavtsa. You remove the thorns from the field. Okay. So there, in other words, shouldn't have been done, but no knas is imposed on the individual. However, nitaiva o nidaira, but if, let's say, you do some real improvements. Now, the Mishnah over here uses the words nitaiva or nidaira. Rashi writes nitaiva, nizbala shaholi chazeva ba'agalos u'masaos. So you're spreading manure over the field. Nidaira, or you pen up animals specifically for the purpose of them fertilizing the land. Okay, we saw that term earlier in our Masechta, Nidaira. Okay, so basically, there are different forms of fertilizing the land. So that's a real improvement to the land, and you did it during the Shemitah year. So lo tizra lamotzei shvius. So as a result of that, the Chachamim levied a knas against you, where you cannot plant that field on motzei shvius. V'am Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina naktinan. Okay, so far so good. It hasn't answered our question yet, meaning all we just learned together is that there's a knas for the person who went ahead and made real improvements on his property. On that, Naktina, we have the following tradition. Naktina means this is an accepted halacha, which is a tivo meis benozor. So, let's say the person did real improvements. That person died. And now, can his son go ahead and plant on Motzei Shvius? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Okay. This part over here is going to be, I'm going to really... not do this next part. I'm not going to do this with any kind of real analysis. But in other words, the real improvements over here was an Issa D'Oraisa or was an Issa D'Rabbanan. Because previously in the Gemara said when a person's violating an Issa D'Oraisa, so the Kenas is going to be following his son. Over here, we're talking about fertilizing the land on Shvius. Is that an Issa D'Oraisa? If you asked me to guess, I would have said yes. And therefore, but from our Gemara over here, it certainly sounds like in the context of our Gemara, it's less than an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay, for more on this discussion, so see the first two Tosafim here on our Amud, where he goes through these points. Anyway, but we're just gonna go on. Meaning, but we know that the Kenas does not follow to the next generation. We have a tradition. So Alma Lidide Kanser Rabbanan, Librelo Kanser Rabbanan. So that means to say that over here, over there, so the Kenas is only for him, but not for his kid. So Hachanam Lidide Kanser Rabbanan, Librelo Kanser Rabbanan. So we'll say the same thing over here. Okay, it's so interesting. The Gemara just going and comparing one halacha to another. We're comparing the halachas of working and improving the land in Shemitah to that of Chol HaMoed. Remember, just a day ago in the Gemara told us, you know, don't try to make comparisons between one halacha and another. Okay.
The land don't transfer to his children.
Of course the land transfers to his children. The only question on the table is whether or not the Kenas is going to be transferring over to his children. And Naktina, and we have a tradition that it won't. It won't transfer to his children. So too over here.
The Kenas could be looked at as a debt, no? It's like he's owing
I mean, he's going to be suffering. He's going to be suffering a financial loss. In this particular case, he doesn't have to pay anybody. In other words, he just simply can't plant his field in the upcoming year. So he doesn't owe it to anybody. He's just going to have to suffer a financial loss. Amar Abaye. Naktinan timat arosa v'meis lo kanso b'no acharav. Okay. So, give you another example where a person is going to be penalized, but not his children. Timat arosav. So there are a number of examples that are given. You're going to see a lot of this in the fifth parak of Gittin. And that is Hezek Sheino Nikar. I do damage, but it's not physical damage. It's halachic damage. So let's say, for example, somebody has food. It's tahor. And I go ahead and I'm metame it. Okay. So now that food is now is going to, well, it depends what it is. But let's say, for example, it's truma. Can't be eaten anymore. And he's got to burn it. Now, did I physically damage it? No. Halachically, did I damage it? Sure. What's the halacha Hezek Sheino Nikar? So Hezek Sheino Nikar, Lav Shmei Hezek. It's not damage. Meaning from the strict letter of the law, I don't have to pay. Because the only payment I have to make, according to the strict letter of the law, is only physical damage. Okay, fine. So now with that stated, but the Chachamim said, but look, what the guy did was, but it was absolutely wrong. So as the Kenas, the Chachamim came along and levied a Kenas on the individual who did halachic damage to somebody else, like what we just described. Good. Now, the person was metame somebody else's taharus, and then the person died. So now, he had a kenas. What about his children? So now, what we're learning together is, does not go to the next generation. So, lo kansu b'no acharav, my time, hezek shenu nikar, lav shmei hezek, lididei kansu rabbanan, lebrei lo kansu rabbanan. So once again, another example where the kenas does not pass down. So, the Gemara had nearly a half dozen scenarios in which we learned about a kenas de rabbanan. The question is it going to be passed on to the next generation? In two of the circumstances, we said yes. And all the other circumstances, we said no. Okay, and the distinction to be made, it certainly sounds like from the Gemara. The simplest reading of the Gemara is that when we're talking about somebody violating an Issa Daraisa that triggers a Kenas Midrabanan, so under those circumstances, it does get passed down to the next generation, notably Tzorn Ozen Bechor, making a mum in the Bechor. So now that Kenas is going to be passed down to the next generation. There happens to be another example, but that is selling your Eved Kenani to a guy. Now, is that an Isser Da'araisa? The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara just simply said, you're being mafkia him. Okay, so I'm not sure if the line to draw over here is the Isser Da'araisa versus an Isser Da'rabanan. I'm not perfectly clear. However, in all other circumstances that we went through a number of other examples where we learned the Kenas is not passed down to the next generation. Okay, we continue. Ein lo chimbatim avanu abehema ela tzar chamoed. Making significant purchases on Chol HaMoed. So you can't unless it's Tzorach HaMoed. So if there's a Tzorach HaMoed, so you can go ahead. So you want to make a real estate purchase. So if you're going to be living in the house on Chol HaMoed, so that's great. But if you're just doing it as an investment or you don't plan on moving in until after, you can't do it. So the same thing is true regarding an Eved. Same thing is true regarding a Behema. So, Tzorach HaMoed she'en lo mayochal. Or let's say the Mocher doesn't have anything to eat. So under those circumstances, so then the sale can be made for on behalf of the mocher who right now currently has nothing to eat. So by minei Rava Mirav Nachman, schar pa'ula she'en lo ma yochal mahu. So schar pa'ula. So let's say you have a worker and right now currently he doesn't have anything to eat. So can I give him work? I myself currently don't need the work, but can I give him the work so that he'll be able to feed himself and his family? Rashi mahu. Okay, and to invoke the Rambam over here, where in other words, why don't we just give him tzedakah? So the Rambam writes, okay, yeah, of course you can give him tzedakah. In fact, it's a mitzvah daraisa, but the Rambam writes it's the highest form of tzedakah is to provide a person independence and a way to support himself. So, okay, and then I'm just thinking, and I'll just ask the question out loud. And over here, where you don't need the work, but he needs the money, so where does that fall within the hierarchy of the Rambam? Meaning, okay, could be, could look at it that way. It's possible. So anyway, so that's the question on the table. Okay, anyway, without the question on the table now is that would that be okay on Chol HaMoed? Amalei Tenisua L'Tzorach HaMocher She'en Lo Mayochal. Okay, good, great question, but I also have a really simple answer, and that is I know the Mishnah in the second parak of Moed Katan. Our Mishnah, Our Mishnah says that the purpose of the sale is so that the mocher can get money so that he can eat. So then you could do it. So lasui emai. So now we're talking about a sale. The Mishnah is talking about a sale. We're talking about employment, but isn't it the same? So my love lasui is char pu'ula. Amrle lo prusha kamefarish. The Gemara says no. So the it maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah is only giving you one scenario and that's it. Meaning the one case in the Mishnah of mechira, that's where it would be okay. But maybe it's char pu'ula, no. You're not allowed to write up documents on Chol HaMoed, a loan document. You can't write up. Take out the word O. Now, let's say that the person himself does not have anything to eat. So then, you can go ahead and you can write it up. So. So now, so now the Gemara is assuming that what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about the recipient of the money, where right now currently he doesn't have anything to eat and he doesn't have any money, and so therefore he wants a loan, but you're really untrusting, you're distrusting of him, and so that is that the heter? Or maybe the heter would even extend. Maybe he's fine, meaning you trust him. It just happens to be that right now the sofer, the scribe himself doesn't have money. Maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. So shmamina. So my love lasui is charpulo shmamina. So the Gemara says, yeah. Okay. And the Gemara's assumption is, yeah, it's even including the scribe as well. Most of Rav Sheshes challenges based on a Bryce. V'chachamim omrim shalshom nesosim malacha bar v'psachim ad chatzos. Three stores can be opened on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, we learned in the fourth parak of Psachim, there's a minhag not to do malacha on the morning of. Afternoon, so there is a mamish, there is a iser to work on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It is very similar to Chol HaMoed. In fact, we're going to assume, going into this discussion, that there's an equivalency between the afternoon of the 14th and Chol HaMoed. Now, with that stated, shoshom niyososim malacha bar v'psachim ad chatzos until chatzos, three stores can stay open. And that is chayatim saparim v'kofsim, tailors, barbers, and launderers. Hachayatim shekein hejo tofer kedarka b'chol shamaway. Now, in terms of stitching, so as we learned earlier in our Masechta, so you're allowed to do some non-professional stitching on Chol HaMoed. And as saparim v'akofsim shekein habayim m'medin suyam v'ayosim e'beis asurim mutam l'sapir l'chabetz b'chol shamaway. There are circumstances where you're allowed to get a haircut and do laundry on Chol HaMoed. We haven't learned them yet in our Masechta. Stay tuned. Come back, please. So we're going to learn that together later in the Masechta. Now, so now the Gemara says, look, if we're learning together that there's a heter for anyone who does not have means, does not currently have money, where he's entitled to work in order to make money so that he can have money to eat on Chol HaMoed, so now, aren't we, therefore, now, shouldn't we open up the door to a lot more professions on Erev Pesach? So, maska flora papa. Ela me'ata binyan l'shtare. So, the Gemara says, wait one second. You're telling me now that any activity that could be done on Chol HaMoed, with the given heterim that we've learned in our Masechta, are allowed to now operate on Erev Pesach? You really mean to say that? He says, what about building? Remember what we learned earlier in our Masechta? If let's say one of your walls is shared with you and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it happens to be now tilting and inclined and really serving as a public danger, so what you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed is tear it down and build it up again. So now that we know that there are certain heterim for binyan, so shouldn't builders now be able to operate on Erev Pesach? And now, shouldn't we also have sofrim being able to write an Erev Pesach? Meaning there is a heter. Again, we're going to learn this later in our Masechta as well. There is a heter to write up certain documents on Chol HaMoed. So over here, so shouldn't we now have them being able to operate an Erev Pesach? Elam Ravashi Moed Arbasa Karamis. So he says, the opening comparison is where your argument is suspect. Meaning what you did is you compared Chol HaMoed to Erev Pesach. So Moed Mishum Tirchahu, V'makum Pseid HaShar Rabbanan. So on Chol HaMoed, So what is one of the operating principles? And that is tircha. And the Chachamim do not want you involved in too much tircha. However, if it's mitigated by pseida, if we're talking about real loss, so then the Chachamim were mako. Arba asar mishum tzarech yantav hu, midah d'tzarech yantav shar rabbanan, midah d'lav tzarech yantav lo shar rabbanan. On Erev Pesach, so what is the operating principle over there? It's not tircha. It's not pseida. The operating principle over there is tzarech yantav. In other words, those things which are for the purposes of preparing for yantav. Haircuts, laundry. So those are things that are hachana for yantav. So there the Chachamim relax the rules. But generally speaking, though, you can't compare whatever is permitted on Erev Pesach to that of Chol HaMoed. Next Mishnah, you give Lamed Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud. Ein mefanu mi bayis habayis av mefanu ulechatzero. You can't move items from one house to another. That's schlepping. That's tircha. You can move items from you can move items to your chatzer. Ein mevim kelim mi bayis ha'uman. Let's say you gave your kli over to a craftsman. Let's assume you gave it to him before Yontif. And now he finished. He called you up. He told you it's done. You haven't picked it up yet. Now it's Chol HaMoed. Can I pick it up now? So the answer is no. However, im choshesh lahem, mefanu mechatzer acheres. If let's say you're worried because the craftsman, you're not super confident that he's somebody you could trust, even though you gave it to him beforehand. But whatever. In other words, you just whatever. It's a finished product now, and you're not sure that leaving it there is the safest idea. So you can move it to another chatzer. Okay. The Hamar Reisha Mefanim Klal. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So in the Reisha we said you're not allowed to be Mefana. Amar Rabbi Seif Asal Labaisha Bechatzer. Now, as far as the safe is concerned, when it says Mefana Hula Chatzero, it means to the house of that chatzer. Vein mevim kelim mi beis ha'uman. One is not allowed to bring a kli from the beis ha'uman. Amar Papa Badik Lan Rava. Rava was testing us. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, mevim kelim mi beis ha'uman. So our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be bringing the kli from the beis ha'uman. Again, you gave an item to a craftsman. He worked on it. He called you up. He says it's ready. Okay, you didn't pick it up yet. Now it's Chol HaMoed. Can I pick it up? The Mishnah said no. Uriminu molichin mevim kelim mi beis ha'uman afa bishen l'tzorach ha'moed. And meanwhile, there is a Mishnah in Pesachim that says you are allowed to pick it up on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so is that confusing? That's for sure confusing. One point of clarification: that Mishnah was not talking about Chol HaMoed. Apologies. That Mishnah was talking about the 14th day of Pesach. And again, we're walking into this discussion thinking there's an equivalency between Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed. Now I know we just finished the Gemara that said don't make the comparison. Okay, I know the Gemara just said that, but right now the Gemara is thinking that it's fair to compare. And it must be, by the way, in other words, if this is the second time this is happening in today's daf, it means because there are a lot of similarities between the two, meaning it is fair to compare. Ultimately, when push comes to shove, the Gemara says the comparison is not perfect, but obviously there is a reason to compare the two. Vishanina le kambar basar kambachol shamawed. So good. So on Erev Pesach, we are more makel. I on Chol HaMoed, we're not more makel. Answer number one of the Gemara is, yeah, because don't compare. Meaning, I know there's good reasons to compare, but don't. And so for on the 14th day of Nisan and Erev Pesach, so we could be a little bit more makel. That's answer number one. Or another way to make a distinction between the two is that maybe it's just an element of trust. If I trust a person, so then I don't have a heter to pick it up. If I don't trust a person, then I do have a heter to pick it up. V'hatanya. And let me support this, right? This is not a question, but rather a support. As we're now on the top, if you give me Amud Beis, Mevin Kalim, Beis Ha'uman, Kagon, Kadmi Beis Ha'kadar, V'kosmi Beis Ha'zagag. So you can bring various Kalim from the craftsman. Avalo Semrimi Beis Ha'tseva, Avalo Kalim Beis Ha'uman, V'im Ein Lo Ma Yochal, No Sein Lo Scharo, U'minicho Etzlo. Now, if he doesn't have what to eat, so you can leave it by him. V'imeinu ma'amino, minicho bebeis ha'samachlo. Now, if you don't trust him, so you put in the house next door. V'im choshesh lahem, shemi ignevu. And if you're worried that they're going to be stolen, skip the parenthesis. Me'vim b'tzina b'soch beiso. You can even bring it back home. Okay, so what comes out over here is that you're allowed to bring it back if there is a trust issue. If you're worried that leaving the finished product by him is not gonna, it's not gonna be good. Someone's gonna take it. He himself may end up taking it. So then you could, under those circumstances, you could take it home. Our second answer is a good answer supported by the Braisa. The Gemara Taratz the Mevi'in Molichin Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile, the Braisa also said that you can go in the other direction as well. You can even bring it to him. So Diktani, so I'm sorry, Taratz the Mevi'in Molichin Kasha, Diktani Ein Mevi'in because Shekein Shein Molichin. Ella Machvarta Kedushin Meikara. So the Gemara says, look, as much as the Braisa is supporting, but the Braisa also, it does create a bit of an issue, because the Braisa actually goes in both directions. Mivian Molichin, and meanwhile, in the original challenge, it was just, in the original challenge, Molichin Umivian. You can go in both directions. And over here, the Braisa is only going to be defending one of the directions. So the Gemara says, okay, our first answer was really the better answer, which is don't compare Chol HaMoed to the 14th day of to the 14th day of Nisan. Okay, next Mishnah. Okay, we're gonna finish up. So Mechapenes Ketzios Bekash. So you have your Ketzios, you have your cut wheat, and what you would like to do is you would like to cover it. It's Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah here gives a heter that you can go ahead and you can cover it. You can use straw to cover it. So the Ketzios are the dates that were cut. And so you want to cover it for protection, for safety? Okay, not sure. Anyway, Rav Yehuda Omer Af Me'avin. And Rav Yehuda says you could put a really thick layer on top of it. So people selling clothing, utensils. So they can open the stores, but only Bitsina and privately. Okay, what does that mean, privately? Don't advertise? Okay. The Gemara is, I'm withholding a little bit of information. The Gemara is going to give us some sense of what it means, Bitsina. Okay, Hatzayad v'adashoshos v'agrusos osim Bitsina. So, as far as trappers are concerned, and deshushos grusos, people that are grinding up your grains. So they can work, but they can work Bitsina. Litzor chamoit, and again, provided that's litzor chamoit. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im heim hachmir latzmam. Rabbi Yossi says that they were machmir. Okay, we're going to describe that momentarily. So, plikibab, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Asi, v'tarvai, mishmei dechiske, v'Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, this format is nearly a repeat of what we saw just a couple days ago. Anyway, a debate in terms of the definition of our Mishnah, right? You have your cut dates, and you want to now cover it on Chol HaMoed. So, a debate in terms of the thickness of covering. Okay, and the terms that are used in our Mishnah is mechapin and me'avin. So what does that mean? Okay, good. So a debate amongst the Amoraim. Chanamar mechapim akluche. Me'avin asmuche. So one says it's thin versus thick. Okay, good. Vechanamar mechapin ben akluche ben asmuche. Some suggest mechapin is a coverage which is thin and or thick. And me'avin osan kemin kri. Now when it says me'avin, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to do, and according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do, and that is kemin kri, right? You're putting it into a large pile, and so it makes it easier to cover. And I guess, and I would imagine that the Tanakhama would tell you, that's already too much tircha, that you're not allowed to do. Tanya nami hachim avinosen osen kemin kri, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Good, and with the second interpretation, it's supported by a braisa. Good. Next, mochrei, peros kesus v'kel mochrim b'tzina. So you're allowed to sell them privately. So you're allowed to make sales on Chol HaMoed, but only privately. So good. So in the end of the mission, we learned that the Mochrimen, generally speaking, were a little bit more machmer upon themselves. What does that mean? So does that mean that they didn't sell at all? Or maybe the Chumra is that they sold, but they only did so privately, private sales. So Tashma Mochri Peres Ksus Vekel Mochri Mitzina Litzor Chamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tigre Tveria Heinach Mil Atzman Shelo Yu Mochrim Kol Ikar. So here in the Braisa, where we get a little bit more expansive language, so we see clearly that the Chumer was they didn't sell at all. Tzad Dechayas VaOfos V'Dagim Tzad Nemitzina Litzor Chamoed. So you're allowed to trap and you're allowed to do so privately. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Tzad Yako Heinach Mil Atzman Shelo Yu Tzad Nem Kol Ikar. And Rav Yossi describes that in Akko, so and the Chol HaMoed, the Chumra there was, and not at all. And Deshushe Chilka Tigris V'Tisne Deshushe B'Tzina Litzor HaMoed. The grinders, you brought your grains over to the grinders, and they would cut the grains right into 2, 3, 4 pieces. We'll see more about that momentarily. So you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed, but again, B'Tzina. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Deshushay Tzipar Eina Chmel Atzman Shelo Yichoshishin. Sorry, Shelo Yidoshishin Kol Ikar. Now Rabbi Yossi points out that in Tzipari, so the minhag over there was not to do it at all. That was a chumrah they took upon themselves. Okay, good. So now we learn together that the correct pshat in our Mishnah, when it says that they took it upon themselves a chumrah, the baseline halacha is that sales should be done privately. And again, that will be defined better in just a moment. And the chumrah was not to do it bichlal. Amar Abaye, Chilka Chada Latarte, Targis Chada Latlas, and Tisne Chada Laarba'a. In terms of cutting the grains into pieces, the various terminologies, it's just simply a question of how many pieces am I cutting it into? Good, and without going through each one of them, it's either cut into two, cut into three, cut into four, and I guess it depends on the kind of porridge of cereal that you want. Kiyasa Ravdimi Amar Kunta. Ravdimi comes in, and he explains that we're talking about kusemis. That what you do is you soak it, right? There is a process called lesisa. We discussed this in Psachim in some detail. And basically, it's the soaking of the wheat that we're describing over here, not the cutting it into pieces. Meisvei. The Gemara says, really, are you right about that? Chilka targis v'tisna tamein b'chol makom. So, chilka targis and tisna are tamein. Now, we know, as a basic rule, in order for a food to become susceptible to tuma, so it has to come into contact with a liquid. Seven liquids that will make it now mukhshir l'kabel tuma. And here in the Braisa, when I have any of these grains that have gone through the process of chilka, targis, or tisne, so they are tame. Bishlam laman damer chadal tati l'tlasul arba mishum hachi tamein b'chol makom dizkashur. So you know, and I say you know, by the way, I happen not to know, but you know that before cutting them, of course you need to soak them. Ugh, everybody knows that. Okay, everybody but me, but okay. But of course you have to soak them prior to cutting them. And so therefore, I totally understand why they're mukhshir l'kabel tuma, because if they were cut, so that means by definition that they're already soaked. Elaman damar kunta amai tamein b'chol makom halo is kasher. So the Gemara says, but if what we're describing over here is we're describing kosemes that is getting ready to be soaked, but not yet soaked, so it's not mukhshir l'kabel tuma. And so therefore, how did you understand the braisa? So the Gemara says, "Kagon de miklafan di lo de sharlo b'mai lo have a miklafa." They were shelled, and because they were shelled, well, you know, the only way that they can get shelled is only if they were soaked beforehand. So what the Bryson was describing is that these kernels were already shelled. That's why we know they were already soaked, and that's why they're mukhshir l'kabel tuma. That's how you'll say pshat in the Bryson. The amai karele chilka de shalko chelkayu. The word chilka certainly sounds like what we did is we split them into two. So the Gemara says, no, what it just simply means is that they were shelled, they looked smooth. That's why they're called chilkayu. Meisvei. Hanodim and adagan asar af bepul amisri, yavesh umutter balach, umutter baores, bechilka v'tirgas v'tisne. So once again, we're trying to figure out the correct shot in these terms of chilka, tirgas, and tisne. It either means cut or it means shelled. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Adarim, a Tosefta, where somebody makes a neder. That's it. He feels that he's getting off the gluten, and he makes a neder. He's not going to have dagon, so he's not allowed to even have pula mitzri. So and he's not allowed to have these cut grains. Bishlam laman damer chadal tar to chadal tlas chadal arba shaper denafka lumitaros dagon. So once again, as we know, when it comes to nedarim, everything follows the lashon haneder. Right? When in nedarim holchin acher lashon bnei adam, it's like rule number one by nedarim. Okay, or it's up there in terms of rule. So when you say the word dagon, so now I understand where the Braisa says that you can have rice and the Braisa says that you can have chilka, tirgus, and tisne. So if we're talking about they're cut, I understand they're still grain. So but it's not dagon anymore. Dagon means the grain intact. But el alaman dar makunta dagon malyahu. So the Gemara says, but if you're telling me that we're talking about kosemis, and all that it was is just simply shelled, so the Gemara says, okay, but that's still dagon, right? Kasha, the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Okay, good point. Okay, so the definition that it's not cut but rather chilled, the Gemara leaves it off as it's a difficult pshat. Rav Huna Sharlu Lahanu Kruftaya Lemezel Lizvunaki Orchayo Bishuka. Rav Huna gives another heter, and with this we finish our parak. And that is that they were sellers of Besamim, and he allowed them to go ahead and sell it in the marketplace. Ezer Rav Kahana Chanus Psucha l'staf. So now we're going to learn a little bit about the halachos of tznius. What does that mean, private sales? The Mishnah told us that we have to make private sales, and now the Gemara is going to be challenging, not so much on the Mishnah, but on Rav Huna, who allowed these people to sell ki or chayu, in the normal way, which means that they don't have to do so privately. So the Gemara says, meanwhile, the store can be open to if your store is open to the stav, so posech v'no kadarko. Okay, so the stav is some sort of side street. Okay, we saw this term numerous times in Shabbos when describing going from one rishus to another rishus. In the beginning of the Masechta over there, you saw that term a lot. Anyway, posech v'no kadarko, because it's not opened up into the main thoroughfare, but it's opened up to a side street. Okay, so the doors can open up regularly. However, psuchal rishus rabim. But if your store is open up right to Rishos Arabim and you want to sell on Chol HaMoed, so what does it mean now, private sale? So posech echav no achas. It means don't have both doors open up. Open up one of the two doors. V'erev Yom Tov Aruch HaShachag Mosi Ma'atar Shukai Yair Beperos Bishvil Kvod Yom Tov Acharon. Now in Erev Yom Tov Acharon, meaning the last day of Chol HaMoed, so what you want to do is have the streets laden with Peros as a cover for Yom Tov Acharon. So Mimnei Kavod Yom Tov Achron in Shalom Mimnei Kavod Yom Tov alone. So the Gemara says, so that means to say that the only thing that we can go on full display, public display, is only at Kavod Yom Tov. Short of that, so you cannot go on full display over here. So over here, the Gemara is challenging Rav Huna. Rav Huna allowed the Mochrei Besamim to go ahead and make their usual sale, which probably included full display. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha Abepira Abetavlin. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Peros, so where there's a concern that when people buy, people are not just buying it for Chol HaMoed, but people are buying Peros for a long period of time. So under those circumstances, so there it has to be done bitsanua. But when it comes to Tavlin, so there, people are buying Tavlin, so that's the Tzor HaMoed. Everybody knows that. So there doesn't have to be any kind of special modesty halachas, so to say, that govern the sale of Tavlin. Okay. Hajon alach misha afach. That is the end of the second perek. God willing, tomorrow morning we begin the third perek.